Good morning.
Good morning.
It is so good to be here. I'm excited to be here because he's excited to be here. And he's excited to be here because you're here. And he's been looking forward to this for a long time. So I can just say this to you, that he has great anticipation in his heart of encountering you, touching your life, changing you in some way. Now we have somewhat to do with that. He is sovereign. He heals us and touches us and changes us in spite of us. Mm-hmm. But when you become childlike and you're willing to lay down anything that he says prevents you from experiencing the wholeness that's yours in Christ, then there's no limits to what he longs to do, he's able to do. So I read this yesterday. I will read it again Sunday as part of the word, but I wanted to read it again. This is a translation or a paraphrase of Galatians 2:20. Just a reminder, Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the right translation, accurate, word for word. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, just that phrase blows my mind. The adventure. This is what it means to walk in the Spirit, that you step by step live by the faith of the Son of God. And even those things that Bracken read this morning was Jesus inviting you to live by his faith. Because he does bless his enemies. He does love those who hate him. He's already proven that. And there's such joy in that. Such freedom in that. But this is Galatians 2:20. So here I am, dead and alive at the same time. The old false me I was trying to be died, and the real and true me, which is Christ in me, is now alive. Co-crucified, now co-alive. What a glorious entanglement. I was in his death, and now I discover that he is infused in me in my life. For the first time, I'm free to be me in my skin, immersed in his faith in our joint sonship. He loves me and believes in me. He is God's great gift to me. Yeah. I like that so much. This is from Romans chapter 6. A little familiar stuff. I just encourage you to not think of this in terms of historically true, though it's historically true. I want you to think of these things, these verses, more in terms of militarily, more in terms of genius, creativity, and artistic. Because you see, let me read this to you again. This is like one of the really important verses that I think the Holy Spirit's pointing out right now. This is verse 10 and 11 of Ephesians 3. In order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known, the wisdom of the mystery of the gospel, Christ in me, the hope of glory, might now be made known through the church of the rulers and authorities, heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Romans 6 describes the plan that had been the plan all along, even before mankind was created. Of course, God anticipated our fall. Did we have to fall? No. Do we have a choice? Yes. But does God in his genius anticipate the fall? Yes. Thus Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. But I love this verse. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, it doesn't say that eternal purpose which he carried out by Christ Jesus our Lord. The eternal purpose was carried all out in the person of Christ. We'll see that again in just a second. So this is Romans describing that. What shall we say then? Verse 1. Shall we continue in sin that grace might increase? In other words, grace is bigger than sin, and if you sin, there's going to be grace, but therefore should you just keep sinning so that you can know more grace? No, the whole point is grace came to set us free, rescue us from the reign of sin. He says, may it never be, or God forbid. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know? Well, and so many Christians don't. And do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into the person, Jesus Christ, have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. I love the language. You were baptized into Christ, the eternal purpose which God carried out in Christ Jesus. So God's plan, this rescue, to rescue us, to restore us to his eternal purpose, and that eternal purpose is that we would be in union with Christ and share in his sonship, be co-heirs with everything that is his. His relationship with the Father, with the Spirit, every spiritual blessing, all that. And so God's plan, it's a military plan because, military genius, because we had to be rescued from an enemy who's come to kill, steal, and to destroy. Every time you sin, that's the trespasser once again trying to snare you into the whole death principle, spiritual death. For the wages of sin is death, not physical death, not you're going to be separated from God forever, because he's writing to the Romans in that verse in Romans chapter 6. He's writing to Christians, but it's just spiritual death. And spiritual death, death is the absence of life, absence of the experience of life. And he came to set us free. He came to rescue us. And so his great military plan was very artistic, because it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we are his poem, created in Christ Jesus. And so when I think about that, I think about an artist. He uses artistic language, that his military plan was full of creativity. It was very artistic. His plan was, I'm going to write a poem. The poem's going to be this. I'm going to rescue them by placing them in every fallen thing in this world, every atom, everything, in the person of Jesus. And Jesus is going to take all that which is in bondage to sin. He's going to crucify that and bury that. And then raised up, joined to him, forever identified with Christ, we would be now set free as new creations in him. It's important that you don't just think of the death and resurrection of Christ historically. And even though you may have heard me say this 1,000 times, you would be stunned at how much of that's still in us. It is so cool. It's a great miracle. You know, Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus died for our sins. He was raised from the dead. But I just wrote a couple of things down so I wouldn't forget. But what was the point of it all? And we've been taught, many of us, not all of us, have been taught the whole point of it all was satisfy an angry God who was grieved and offended with mankind's sin. But the truth is, the cross and the resurrection, now hear me, was to satisfy a happy God. He created us from this really deep, happy place. We were created to participate, to share in everything that he is and everything that he has, to enjoy true sonship, to be the elder son, to have the inheritance of all that he is and all that he has. He created us for that. But as God is love, and at the heart of love, you want to give away. You want to share. And so God's great genius, God's great happiness is, I want to create a people who can share in all this. And so God's solution was a happy solution. Came from that happy place, that joyful place. That's why it says Jesus, though he suffered so much, you know, I love the movie The Passion, and they just emphasize so much the suffering of Christ. And part of that's because it's sort of a Catholic perspective. But what really wasn't communicated was it says, for the joy set before him, he endured all that. What was the joy? God's dream that he was thrilled about, that he was exhilarated about, was about to be restored. He was going to write this poem. It was a rescue. It's kind of like the poem, The Charge of the Light Brigade. You ever heard that? This is the charge of God. But it has this happy ending. And I think that when you start to get that, suddenly you begin to identify with this one who lives in you, who's really in a good mood, and who's really happy and excited about you participating in his sonship. And so he'll do things like, I know that you really don't like that person, but I really do, and I love them, and I bless them. And I know that they treat us like we're enemies, but that's my specialty. Wouldn't you like to join me in that, Chuck? He says things like, I was going to go do something recently. Actually, he was going to see, be with the Sligo kids and Mike when he had a surgery. But it was like threatening, bad threat of tornadoes, and I had people telling me not to go, and I was thinking about it, and I thought, well, if it was, of course I would go, if it was Wood or Luke or whatever, and thinking through it. And I said, Lord, I don't want them to think I don't care. And the Lord said, if you go, you're not going so they'll think you're wonderful. You're going because I think they're wonderful. I thought, that's fun. The other one's not. Because what if you walk in that, you're walking in security, and you start thinking, am I saying it just right? Do they think I'm wonderful? Are they impressed with what I've done? Have you ever lived there? But if you're there because he thinks they're wonderful. I was in a situation not long recently, not people that you know, and it was a difficult group. So I kind of felt pressed, and I felt kind of threatened. And all of it, then this happy Jesus began to speak. He said, you know, I'm really enjoying spending time with these people. I'm going, well, okay. And I guess you're inviting me to enjoy you. He said, yeah, I'm inviting you to participate in that. Okay. And he said, also, I'm not threatened by them, by the way, in any way, shape, or form. And the point is, they just don't understand some things. So why would you try to impress people who can't understand? Why would you be disappointed in them? And why would you be frustrated with them? Because I'm not. Because I love them just where they are. And then he said, I can only get them where I need them to be by loving them where they are. So why don't you enjoy it and join me and enjoy this? That's so liberating. But that's the whole poem. That's what he's invited me into. That's what he's invited you into. The point of the death and resurrection of Christ wasn't God. It was you. You were the dream restored. It was the most amazing, genius military exercise in history. But at the same time, it was creative and artistic and extraordinary. And you're forever identified with Jesus is the end game. And God was really happy about it, even in the pain, for the joy set before him. Because Jesus was doing what? Always. Jesus always revealing the truth about the Father. And of course, they're one. And so it wasn't just Jesus revealing the joy. It was him revealing the Father's joy, that it mattered so much to him that we would be grafted into the sonship of Jesus, that that would be the new you, that he was filled with joy. He stepped out of eternity knowing what it was going to hurt, how it's going to hurt. But in the end, knowing that the eternal purpose carried out in Christ Jesus, which was our rescue and our restoration into this relationship with him, that we get to participate in all that he is and all that he has, in amazing intimacy and nearness, that would be accomplished. So let me read it to you again, okay? Galatians 2:20. So here I am. This is like after the battle. Now I'm in Christ. So here I am, dead and alive at the same time. The old false me I was trying to be died. And the real and true me, which is Christ in me, is alive. Co-crucified, now co-alive. What a glorious entanglement. I love that. I was in his death, and now I discover that he is infused in me, in my life. For the first time, I'm free to be me in my skin, immersed in his faith in our joint sonship. He loves me and believes in me. How can he not? I'm one with him. He's God's gift to me. So he said this before. This is a quote from Baxter Kruger, that God's plan, that we would be woven into the very fabric of Jesus' existence. But there's another side of that, this divine entanglement, this glorious entanglement. He's been woven into the fabric of your existence. We were there together in that weird situation, and he was very comfortable, and I got to experience his comfort. And what a liberating time it was. Chuck, you don't have to say anything to impress anybody. Why would you try to impress folks who don't understand? So just relax. I'm glad to be here because I love them. This is a situation a while back. But that's the life he's called us to. I was talking to him this morning. I said, Lord, I don't like thinking that. And he said, me either. And I said, so we need to. And he said, it was you thinking that, Chuck. I didn't like you thinking that either. And he says, but you have my mind, and so guess what? I'm your freedom from that. Wow. And his heart and his voice to me is always a happy one. Because I'm telling you, every day, you might not celebrate your Christianity, but God celebrates your rescue and your restoration to his dream. Amen? Amen. Amen. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.